Fulgrim, the Phoenician. As the verse says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Warhammer 40K, especially the Primarchs, is filled with prideful individuals and haughty spirits, so it's no stranger to destruction and falls from great heights. Fulgrim has perhaps one of the greatest falls among the Primarchs, outside of perhaps Horus, and much of it is his own doing. Let's take a brief look at Fulgrim's extremely humble origins, his height of glory, and his fall into degeneracy. Fulgrim's story begins on the planet Chemos, a poor mining world that experienced neither day nor night, but only a perpetual gray twilight. Cut off from the rest of the Imperium for many years, Chemos was a desolate place of ruins, starving people, and desperation. Food, water, and energy were limited, with all citizens working constantly in the vapor mines to draw moisture from the air, or the huge synthesizers that endlessly recycled their food supply and waste. Obviously, there was no recreation, or art, or beauty here, and it's this hellish landscape that Fulgrim arrived on in his gestation pod. Scouts were sent from the largest remaining factory fortress here to investigate, finding a child amidst the remnants of a capsule in a crater. One of the scouts wished to just kill the child, as it would only be a burden on their already meager resources, but the infant had entranced another one of the scouts, and he refused. The two scouts shot the other, feeling no guilt, as there was something special about this child. Noticing that a stream of pure water had formed where the baby had landed, they named him after an ancient deity of their people, the water bringer Fulgrim. Fulgrim spent his early years as a factory worker like everyone else on Chemos, but of course it didn't take him long to outgrow this. He quickly came to understand the technology at work here and began to modify it to increase its efficiency dramatically. And by the time Fulgrim was 15, he had already become one of the ruling executives of the factory fortress. Under his leadership, teams of engineers began to travel outside of the settlement in order to reclaim and repair many of the mining outposts across the planet, pouring minerals back into the city. Fulgrim also began supervising the construction of even more sophisticated and efficient machinery, leading to Chemos producing a surplus for the first time in decades, allowing them to purchase food and other materials from passing traders. With the state of the planet turning around, Fulgrim also took to reinvigorating the cultural side of things on Chemos, fostering the reemergence of art and culture. Alongside the reinvention of terraforming technology, Chemos rose to new heights of beauty and prosperity, brought out of the gutter of desolation and desperation. Eventually, a fleet of ships arrived at Chemos, and the Emperor of Mankind appeared before Fulgrim. Without a word, Fulgrim knelt and offered his sword, swearing to serve the Imperium with all his heart. Fulgrim traveled to Terra to meet his Legion of Astartes, learning that a couple of events had destroyed the majority of the gene seed designated for his Legion. Without their Primarch around, replacing it was a slow and laborious process, so there were only 200 Space Marines in the Legion currently. Fulgrim's initial speech to his Legion was said to be so inspiring to the Emperor that he named them the Emperor's Children, and allowed them to bear the sign of the Aquila, his personal symbol. This declaration only furthered Fulgrim's initial inclinations that he and his legion should strive to live up to the perfection of the Emperor and his vision of the Imperium. This drive for perfection was applied across all aspects of the Emperor's children, from military tactics to artistic culture to their appearance. Fulgrim strived for perfection because he believed that even the lowliest of humans can be elevated to greatness, as demonstrated on Chemos, and naturally they should all strive to be as near to the Emperor's level of greatness as possible. He was certainly hard on his legion because of this, but he was just as hard on himself. Initially, due to their low numbers, the Emperor's children were placed under the command of Horus and the Luna Wolves during the Great Crusade, allowing Fulgrim and Horus to grow close. Eventually, however, Fulgrim and the children were allowed to go on their own, demonstrating their strive for perfection throughout the Crusade, even when that hubris nearly led to failure. Notably, on the world of Byzus, Fulgrim decided to conquer the world with just himself and seven of his men, even refusing the aid from a local brotherhood of warriors. Despite nearly dying in the process, he succeeded, further encouraging his ideals. During the Crusade, Fulgrim also developed a close friendship with Ferus Manus, who was also focused on purging all weakness from himself and humanity. In a contest of skill, the two decided to both attempt to forge the perfect weapon, leading to Fulgrim crafting the hammer, Forgebreaker, and Ferus crafting a sword, Fireblade. The two promptly exchanged weapons afterwards, with them becoming synonymous with these weapons. Despite this, however, it wouldn't be long before Fulgrim would replace the sword with something far more nefarious. During the Crusade, the Emperor's children encountered a Xenos race known as the Lair, who prized perfection in all aspects of their civilization, even genetically manipulating their youth to adapt them to specific roles. The Council of Terra decided that subjugating the Lair would take too long and cost too many Imperial lives, but Fulgrim refused to back down and began the slaughter, declaring that they would conquer the planet in a month's time. True to his word, the Emperor's children did conquer the planet a month later, attacking the Lair in space, on the surface, and beneath their oceans, but the war was not without a great cost. For one, the Emperor's children suffered immensely, as the Lair never surrendered, and were quite prepared for conflict, and it's estimated that if not for the Emperor's children's excellent apothecaries, more than half of their marines would have died. The second cost was far greater, however, as unbeknownst to Fulgrim and his legion, the Lair were actually worshippers of the chaos god Slaanesh, and during the aftermath, Fulgrim recovered a Xeno weapon, the Silver Blade of Lair, and began using it instead of the sword made by his brother. The sword, however, contained the essence of a powerful demon of Slaanesh, which began to whisper into Fulgrim's ear. Sometime after, Fulgrim met with an Eldar Farseer, who attempted to warn Fulgrim of Horus's recent wounding and his corruption into chaos. Fulgrim, however, spurred on by the Demon Blade's urgings, was outraged at the Farseer's words and attacked the Eldar. Afterwards, Fulgrim destroyed a number of Eldar Maiden worlds using virus bombs in retaliation of their supposed treachery. Later, Fulgrim met with Horus himself to get his account of recent events, but it was this meeting that allowed Horus to sway Fulgrim over to his side, convincing him that their father, the Emperor, was actually holding humanity back from perfection. Fulgrim, already in the grips of chaos and swayed by his respect for Horus, agreed to go and meet with Ferus Manus to convince him to turn against the Emperor as well. Fulgrim met with Ferus aboard his flagship, but the meeting did not go as Fulgrim planned, with Ferus outraged that his brothers would even think of turning against the Emperor. The discussion turned to violence, and Ferus managed to destroy Fulgrim's sword, Fireblade, during the fight, but the resulting explosion knocked him out. Fulgrim then intended to slay his brother using his own hammer, but ultimately couldn't bring himself to do it. Instead, he ordered his men to slaughter Ferus's personal guard and fled as his ships opened fire upon Ferus's fleet, crippling them and preventing them from following. Afterwards, Fulgrim's mental state quickly began to deteriorate as he began to talk to a painting frequently and killed the sculptor for making a statue of the Emperor. His men followed suit, with the strive for perfection devolving into excess and hedonism. The Emperor's children were present at the infamous Drop Site Massacre, and here Fulgrim and Ferus met once again to have another battle. This time, Fulgrim wielded the hammer Forgebreaker that he had made for Ferus, while Ferris wielded the reforged Fireblade. Fulgrim was disarmed during the duel, but began wielding the Laren Blade, quickly overcoming his brother. Once again, however, he could not find it in himself to slay Ferris, but this time the demon contained in the blade fully exerted itself, guiding Fulgrim's hand and beheading his brother and friend. Shocked at what he had just done, Fulgrim was horrified by the monstrosity that he and his legion had become, and was overcome with grief. In a brief moment of weakness, he foolishly agreed to the demon's whispers, telling him that he could find release in oblivion. The demon was freed from the sword and took possession of Fulgrim's body, trapping his consciousness away in a deep corner of his mind, represented in the painting that he had been talking to for some time. Afterwards, the demon controlling Fulgrim took Ferris's severed head to Horus, who was pleased with the outcome, but quickly realized that he was not speaking to his brother, but some demon in control of his body. Although Horus threatened him, he realized that the demon had come unarmed and had no wish for violence. The demon swore loyalty to Horus, explaining that Fulgrim's consciousness was quite safe, and while Horus was appalled at what had happened to Fulgrim, he thought it best to keep the demon as an ally, vowing to destroy it eventually to rescue Fulgrim. Fulgrim's fate was kept a secret, but at a meeting of traitor Primarchs soon after, Lorgar immediately realized that something was amiss, leading to a confrontation in which Horus had to explain the situation. Lorgar was enraged that a demon was puppeteering their brother, but ultimately left without banishing it. It wasn't long before some of the Emperor's children, notably a captain named Lucius, realized that something was amiss with their lord, and eventually they captured Fulgrim and began torturing him to drive the demon out. Fulgrim willingly submitted himself to the torture, until Lucius realized that the demon was not in control, but it was Fulgrim himself. Fulgrim revealed that at some point, using the time locked away to learn of the ways of demonkind, he managed to swap places with the demon, locking it away in the painting instead. Now he has chosen to devote himself to Slaanesh fully, with the Emperor's children at his side. Afterwards, Fulgrim joined up with his brother Perturabo, promising him unlimited power as they embarked on a quest to journey into the Eye of Terror and retrieve a weapon known as the Angel Exterminatus. Landing on an ancient Eldar crone world, they did battle with an army of awakened Wraith Guards and Wraith Lords, during which Fulgrim attempted to betray his brother and slip away, but Perturabo managed to follow him. Here, Fulgrim revealed that there was no Angel Exterminatus, and instead, he drained Perturabo of his power, explaining that he plans on becoming a god, a demon Primarch. As he's about to complete the ritual, a group of loyalist Astartes attack the two, having followed them since the Drop Site massacre. They manage to disrupt the ritual, freeing some of Perturabo's energy, who proceeds to strike down Fulgrim. Unfortunately, this only destroyed Fulgrim's mortal body, and he was subsequently reborn as a massive, serpentine demon prince of Slaanesh. Fulgrim promptly vanished along with the Emperor's children, and he proceeded to enjoy his new form, causing chaos and violence across the war. Eventually, however, Horus called for all of the traitor Primarchs to gather for the march to Terra, but Fulgrim was nowhere to be found. Lorgar volunteered to find him, and ended up using the Webway to make his way to the Palace of Slaanesh. Here he found Fulgrim engaged in debauchery and degeneracy, refusing to rejoin the war as he claimed that he didn't care about it anymore. The two came to blows, with Lorgar about to be struck down, until one of his dark apostles uttered Fulgrim's new, true name, binding him to the apostle's will. Fulgrim was forced to rejoin Horus, along with all of the Emperor's children, and although Lorgar was actually planning to use the enslaved Fulgrim in a plot to kill Horus and take his place, Fulgrim still stuck around after this plot was unraveled. Fulgrim ultimately did little during the early stages of the Siege of Terra, letting the Emperor's children embark on a spree of Terra amongst the citizenry. Eventually, however, he was convinced to lead his legion in an all-out attack on the Saturnine Gate, until he was confronted by Rogel Dorn. Fulgrim was transformed into his normal form during their duel, and although Dorn clearly had the advantage in hand-to-hand combat, Fulgrim laughed off all of the damage, easily regenerating. During the duel, however, he learned that their assault on Saturnine had failed, and proceeded to transform into his demonic form and leave. After Horus's defeat, the Emperor's children rampaged across a number of worlds as they fled towards the Eye of Terror, even attacking other traitor legions in the process. Fulgrim continued to be a thorn in the Imperium's side for many years, as Robute Gilliman pursued him. They eventually had a final confrontation near the world of Thessala, where Gilliman fell into Fulgrim's ruse, and it looked as if he was going to lose his entire fleet. Gilliman teleported aboard Fulgrim's flagship to confront Fulgrim directly, and when words failed, they quickly fell into a duel. Gilliman, unfortunately, was no match for Fulgrim's demonic strength, and Fulgrim ultimately slit his throat with a poisoned sword. Gilliman was rescued and put into stasis for 10,000 years, while Fulgrim was rewarded by Slaanesh with a demonic pleasure world named Kallax, named after the city on Kimos that Fulgrim ruled many years prior. Fulgrim would go on to spend practically all of his time here, resulting in the Emperor's children falling apart into various war bands. Many centuries later, however, after Gilliman was healed and brought out of stasis, Fulgrim sensed his brother's return, proceeding to possess the Arch-Consul of Macragge to taunt him during his first public appearance. It seems now that Fulgrim is returning to be a bit more active across the galaxy, which is certainly bad news for Gilliman and the Imperium as a whole. Fulgrim undoubtedly has one of the most drastic arcs among all of the Primarchs. He started out toiling away in mines on a desolate and hopeless planet, experiencing the lowest of lows for the common man of the Imperium, before rising up to be favored by the Emperor and leading his legion with the lofty goal of perfection, and then ultimately becoming one of the most heinous and despicable of the traitor Primarchs, even despised by other traitor Primarchs. Like every Primarch, Fulgrim made some big mistakes along the way, succumbing to his own pride and ambition, and like all of the traitor Primarchs, had things gone a little bit differently, perhaps chaos and war could have been prevented. Ultimately, Fulgrim, like Icarus, flew too close to the sun and paid the price, turning something that was once beautiful into something quite monstrous.